Is there a need for an off-leash dog park where folks can socialize and their pets mingle? What are the pros and cons? And we'll learn about the Run for the Noses on Derby Day to raise funds for the Woodmere Dog Park on the grounds of Evansville State Hospital. I'm David James, and next on 2 Main Street, the latest poop on the park from Woodmere Dog Park board members Nancy Drake and Ginger Hape. Enclosed dog parks are becoming more common in urban environments, but there are do's and don'ts when you put people and their pets in a fenced area. And we'll learn about the health, well-being, and quality of life benefits to having a dog park in your community. 2 Main Street is next, presented by Jeffrey Berger of Berger Wealth Services at Bayard Private Wealth Management. From the WNIN Tri-State Public Media Center in downtown Evansville, I'm David James, and this is 2 Main Street. Okay, is there a dog in your life? Maybe two or more. Nationally, there's at least one dog in nearly one out of every two households in the U.S. A dog park is a place for dogs to exercise and play off-leash under the supervision of their owners. There's a local effort to open a premier dog park serving the Southwest Indiana area on the grounds of the Evansville State Hospital. And to promote and raise funds for the Woodmere Dog Park, there's a big event coming up on Saturday, May 1st. That's Derby Day. It's the local Run for the Noses. Here to tell us about the latest plans for the Woodmere Dog Park and the Run for the Noses are Nancy Drake, president of the board of directors for the Woodmere Dog Park, and board member Ginger Hoppe. So welcome to 2 Main Street. And before we go on, let's hear about your personal pets. Nancy, let's start with you.
I do have a dog, and his name is Ringo. He's a rescue dog. He's just a little over 9 years old. He does love to run, so the park will be great for him. So we're excited about that, an off-leash area for that boy.
What's Ringo's breed?
Well, his mommy was a 40-pound American Eskimo, and his daddy was a, what's that teeny tiny dog? A Chihuahua. So,
wow.
Yeah, so there's not much more to be said there. But let me just say he favors his daddy.
Okay. Okay, Ringo. Okay, Ginger, you have any critters?
Yeah, I have plenty of critters. Maybe my husband says too many sometimes. But I have my favorite of my dogs is what he says, is my Charles Jefferson the third is what we call him. And he is a pug chihuahua mix, so he's a chug. So we call him Chuggy all the time. And then I also have a German Shepherd Mastiff. And his name is Teddy. He's a very large Teddy, mostly Mastiff, but German Shepherd looking. And then I have my hot mix, my ugly dog, as everyone says, but we love her to death. They're all three rescue dogs, but she was returned to the shelter like four times, but she's my special case. And she's kind of a pit mix, hodgepodge brown dog, but she's special in our hearts.
Okay, we got that settled. So Woodmere Dog Park, it's going to be privately funded. It is privately funded. It's a nonprofit organization. And I know the mission statement is to provide and sustain a premier off-leash dog park and enhance the quality of life for the area. Who came up with that mission statement, Nancy?
Well, I think when they put it together, and this has been a project going on now three and a half years. It just takes that amount of time to get everything through. And then, of course, COVID came up. But dog parks today are the fastest growing community assets across the United States. And as much as for the socialization of the dogs and the socialization of the dog owners, it's a quality of life issue. And there are a handful of cities in the country that have 3, 4, 5 dog parks because people, you know, it's an opportunity to get out and meet other people and let your dog run free. I personally we don't have a yard. So my dog's always on a leash unless I'm in somebody else's yard. So, and it's a beautiful, serene location. It is not a city project. It is a privately funded project. So we think most important is the asset it is for our community.
I think it's important to say, too, though, the city was very involved and wanted that park. We worked with the Parks and Recreation as well as the mayor and other city leaders that they did agree that our city was kind of lacking this kind of facility.
Any other communities in the area that have them?
The closest one I'm aware of, and it's one that we visited and we pattern a lot of what we're doing, is one of them in Indianapolis in Carmel. And we're doing some very similar things to what they're doing.
We've met with them and discussed, you know, what problems they had, what they learned through the years. They are at full capacity in that, too, whatever their capacity they felt was. But we also did research Nashville and other areas of major cities surrounding us in the Midwest for their rules and regulations and, you know, even the build of it and what they wish they had done and what they learned from building. Even though every community is a little bit different, you have similar things that come up throughout it. The one in Carmel is actually part of the Parks and Recreation.
Right.
So it's a little bit different situation, the way they mulch and the way they grow from their parks. But at the same time, they're still running a private dog park that is a membership.
Right.
Now, you have a big event coming up May 1st.
Yes, we do.
Run for the Noses. So tell us about that.
Yes, we do. Well, it's the same day as the Run for the Roses. And so we thought, for those of you who cannot go to Louisville and experience that, you can be here and experience Run for the Noses. And it's kind of a, it's a walk, run, 1K or 2K on the grounds of the Evansville State Hospital, and actually where our location will be. And it's a fun event. We, of course, beg you to bring your dogs with you. And in fact, if you don't have a dog, we have a rental dog opportunity with the Vandenberg Humane Society. There's a fee of $25 that goes directly to them for the rental dog. So, and then we'd like for you and your dog to dress up. We have judges. There will be awards. Oh, one of the awards is a night at French Lick. And accompanying that will be Walkie Doggie is good to watch your dog while you're out of town at French Lick. So
nice.
We have some nice prizes, and it's just a fun thing. We want to get people out to our location and look at just how beautiful our space is.
And if you don't have a dog, you can obviously still walk or run in the thing, the race, and as well as you can bring your family members, your children, you know, whoever you want to bring.
Now, derby hats for the dogs, you think?
That would be fabulous. That would be absolutely fabulous, and I wish we would have thought of that before, but I am going to post that on our Facebook page.
Yeah, I think that would be a good
thing. Thank you very much,
well, you
David.
Know, I try to help
yes.
out when I can.
Derby okay. attire. You are so good. Thank you.
So what are the times for this event?
You can register online, both at our Facebook page as well as our
website.
And it begins, there's registration also on the grounds at 8 o'clock that morning. The race begins or the walk begins at 9, and we are pretty certain that it'll be done by 10.
Rain or shine?
Rain or shine.
Rain or shine.
And again, this is on the State Hospital grounds.
Yes. We're located just south, and you can enter either from the Lloyd or from Lincoln.
Okay.
But we are located just south, and there's a big sign there. Of the iCamp Boy Scout building.
Mm-hmm. Now, the name Woodmere Dog Park, that's, I guess, in reference to the name of the state hospital, right?
Yes. The state hospital lies on 900 acres. I think you know that. And it has been referred to that area as Woodmere, meaning tranquility in the woods.
Really?
And so the name was chosen with some historical
Local history
of the area. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we're talking to Ginger Hoppe and Nancy Drake with the Woodmere Dog Park. So, what are the plans to open the dog park? Do you have a scheduled date, Ginger?
So our goal is this year for sure. Our real goal is this fall to break ground. The nice thing is if we get enough funds raised, we can break the ground. So that's what our efforts are. We have, now that COVID's kind of out of the way and vaccinations have happened and such, we're more comfortable having those fundraising events, and also looking at our donors as well for that. Still looking for some title sponsors. We've got those opportunities on our website as well, but every bit helps to build the park. So whether you're going to come to the race and participate that way, you want to go on our website and do a sponsor brick, whether you just want to give us $5 to help go towards that, every dollar builds that dog park. So we're looking to start with the fencing area and the two different spaces, because we have a small dog space and a large dog space. So that's first priority, and then the amenities from there, from shelter to water to electric and such, that is also important to our plans.
So did the state hospital give you this property?
Actually, the property is the city property.
Oh, really?
It's kind of interesting that the park is divided into state property and city property.
Really?
So we have a lease of $1 per year for 10 years, and that lease will be able to renegotiate for another dollar a year on down the road. So that's we have had a wonderful relationship with the city. And I think the remarks that I made was just for folks to understand, the city is not responsible for anything that is taking place out there. We're raising funds privately. It's not under the parks umbrella, although we work closely with them. And they'll keep an eye on things out there, security and stuff like that, as they do the entire park.
Now, how large will the park be itself?
It's 3 acres.
It's three acres.
Yes.
That will all be fenced in?
Yes.
Oh, and you're going to have like sponsorships on the fence then?
Yes.
Like they do at the ballparks?
It won't
nicer.
Oh, okay.
Nothing wrong with the ballpark.
Right.
But they'll be, in fact, you can purchase a dog silhouette that is attached to the fence. We have 5 different shapes. And your name or your logo is on that. Mm-hmm. And it's permanently affixed to the fence.
Nice.
And, we have a local company that's making them for us, and they're really cool.
And there's shelter sponsors. There's brick sponsors. There's Locks of Love. If you want to buy a lock in memory of your lost dog, kind of like the different memorials that you see throughout the country where they put the locks on the fence, kind of that same kind of concept.
So we have a special display fence where these locks will go. So you'll put your lock on there and then throw the key away. And
of course, Feltalock helped us on that.
Oh, yeah.
And so they're our sponsor of that. And then we've got lots of different levels and lots of different, but we're really asking people to, help us build the park.
So you're going all out on this dog park.
Yes. Yes, we are.
You're not just throwing this thing together. This
No.
is well thought out and planned.
No, our architect, Adam Green, has worked very hard. And from 3 years ago till today, Things have changed a little bit. Our original plan had bathrooms in it and things like that, and we've had to pare that back. Part of it is doing research on other dog parks and seeing that, what is it a dog park really has. So we've brought that budget way down.
But that's something you could add in the future.
Absolutely.
Because we will have electric and water at the location, so we can build up from there.
Because we want to be able also, we would like to have a portico kind of a thing going on, or like a veranda, so that people can rent it. Just like you're able to rent parts of the zoo and do your private events, we want people to, if your dog is having a birthday party and you have to celebrate, we want that to be able to happen for you.
Will this be a year-round facility?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
Good deal. Now, you said there are separate areas for the larger and the smaller dogs.
Mm-hmm. And there's actually a third area for maintenance. So if we have to shut down the large area, there's a third area that becomes then the large area, because obviously you'll have to seed and you'll have to refurbish the ground areas. So there will be areas that get shifted. That's why there's 3 actual bay areas, but there are 2 separate areas. Like for me, I have a Chihuahua pug. He loves large dogs. He's too annoying for small dogs. So even though he's a small dog, we'll probably put him in the large dog because he thinks he's a large dog. But then, my middle dog, she's not as social, so she's in between. She's 45 pounds. She'll probably be in the small dog because she's got small dog mentality too. So we wanted to keep it safe and comfortable for everyone, and also from the research that we had, the way that you keep a nice dog park is to have those 3 bays where you can move them, treat them, clean them, and then reopen from there. So,
okay, let's get into poop control.
Well, so we will have, actually they've been underwritten by Walkie Doggie. There will be a poop bag stand in all three of them. So doggy bags are there, and the owner is responsible to keep an eye on their dog and pick that up. Now, the way they do it in Indy is when you sign your dog up, they also do a DNA test on your dog. Because if there's a duty left out in the park, they test it and you get a fine. We don't want to do that.
Right.
But if it becomes a problem, we will.
Okay, let's go back to the DNA test. I don't quite understand that.
Well, you take a specimen of your doggy's droppings. And they run a DNA on it.
So they identify your dog as dog.
Oh, okay.
They told me in the 3-4 years that they've been open, they've only had it happen one time.
Really? Okay.
Mm-hmm. The people are very careful about
that. But the nice thing is Walkie Doggie sponsored all of our stations, and we will obviously have volunteers, too, that go in and check and maintain the space. So our goal is just to have a great space.
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
so safety, of course, a big concern, and the sanitation a big concern as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, safety, dog parks typically in the country, they are not attended by anybody other than the dog owner. So I will go to Indianapolis because they're the ones that we've had the most experience with. Have they ever encountered an untoward event? And in fact, they did. And in the dog waiting area, where you go in and now you're going to pick the large dog, the space that you're going to go into, they had a large dog attack a small dog in there. The city, Indy, was not sued. It was not, their fault. I put quotes around that. But so can that happen? Sure. But also when you're walking your dog down the street, you got to know your dog enough to keep them away from other dogs. But of course, it's something that can happen.
The nice thing is that there will be a fob system, so everybody will be identified that comes in and out of the park. You will have a membership at a low cost. I feel it's a low cost at least. Mm-hmm. And you could pay monthly or annual for that cost. We haven't finalized that pricing yet. But everyone who comes in will have identification. So we will have on file who has came in and who hasn't at the time, as well as all of the dogs who enter, their shot records will be on file as well for safety. So we know everyone's in there is up to date on records and things. So if there is an incident, hopefully there isn't. Hopefully it's minor if it does. We have the notification of who that is, as well as the vaccination records of who it is. Dogs will be dogs and people will be people, so you always have that, but hopefully we have a space that is the best space and identified as well. So,
is there a maximum number you could have at a certain time of animals and people?
There is, and that will be what the membership is sold to. In our space right now, we're estimating around 200 owners, but families can have multiple dogs. So,
well, I meant how many dogs at one time in the areas.
Again, and I go back to basing it on the research that we've done. Indy, who has exactly the same amount of space that we do, they have 600 members. And he said there are, because obviously they can track this with the fob, between their two sides, he said there's never more than 30 people.
Oh, really? Okay.
At a time in there.
Just because people's habits and hours and such are so different. Mm-hmm. But we don't want to have the thing where there's one dog out there all the time, too, because that defeats the purpose of it. So we know that there will be a limitation, but they didn't ever have it. But they did cut off their membership
in
Indy.
Yes, they did.
So.
Okay. Okay, a little dog park history. I think I researched a little bit. Southern California, I think, opened some of the first dog parks.
Yes, of course.
Of course they did, because
yes, they
very
did.
Liberal area. And they
yes, they did.
Lots for their dogs.
Yes.
And then it eventually caught on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As you pointed out, the number of families in the country who have dogs, and the number of families who have dogs, like myself, who don't have a yard. I mean, we live in there's no green space. So, and I think just people are if you will, kind of returning to nature. And then they're, you know, there's nowhere in town that you don't see people walking their dog at any time of the night or day. This just allows them to let the dog run free and be there.
Well, course, and trends are showing, too, that people are taking their dogs more places with them. So whether you're catering more to your dogs than sometimes your children anymore on statistics, if you go to the airports, you see a lot of dogs now in the airports.
Yes, with doggy – I've never gone in one, but, you know, the airports –
Doggy space.
Doggy sure. space, right. whatever that is.
Yeah, we tried it at the last one because we were like, we got to check out what they have. Unfortunately, there was no dogs to play with because we didn't have our dog.
Well, if you've ever gone to Europe, you know that dogs rule – there.
Yes, yeah. They do.
They have a lot of privileges.
In a restaurant, which I think is a good idea myself.
And bigger cities, you see that trend, too.
Yeah. And they're so well-behaved.
Well, that's right.
Because they're socialized.
They really are, because they're used to people
that's right.
and being around these environments. Well, coming up, we're going to have more of our conversation with Nancy Drake, president of the Woodmere Dog Park and board member Ginger Hoppe. Coming up, we're going to talk about the benefits of having a dog park in the community. There are health and well-being benefits for both the dogs and their owners. This is 2 Main Street, presented by Jeffrey Berger of Berger Wealth Services at Bayard Private Wealth Management. We'll be right back. Welcome back to 2 Main Street. I'm David James. My guests are Nancy Drake and Ginger Hoppe on the board of the Woodmere Dog Park planned for the state hospital grounds in Evansville. Fundraising continues to open the off-leash park, including the Run for the Noses on Derby Day, Saturday, May 1st. Again, how can folks get involved and get involved with this race?
I think the big thing is whether you want to walk it, run it, or just be out there with us. We're inviting everybody to come out and join us. Whether you have your dog or you don't have a dog, you want to rent a dog, you don't want to rent a dog, just come out and see us. They can go to our Facebook or they can go to our website and register. All participants get a free t-shirt. And also there'll be swag bags at the event and opportunities for best dressed, I guess.
Absolutely.
Prizes. So Nancy can tell us a little bit about the prizes.
So, well, we have 3 judges lined up, and I think everybody knows these people. We have one of your colleagues, Liberty, from 105.3. We have Josh Armstrong, who he is a kitty lover, which I believe you as well.
Yes, we have a cat at our home.
But he's going to jump ship for that morning and kind of get into the dog thing. And then the other person is Kendall Paul, who is the CEO of the Vandenberg Humane Society. She has dogs and cats. So she's kind of right at home with this sort of thing.
So let's go back to what a dog park is, some of the talking points. A dog park increases social connectivity and brings people out and about. Is that correct?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. I mean, I'm looking at a couple of notes that I made. 40% of pet owners indicate that they become acquainted with other people through having their pets. And, of course, we're going to have lots of seating out there and shelter areas. So, you know, while your dogs are making new friends, you can certainly be making new friends, because I think we all know people with dogs, they have a lot to talk about, how special their dog is.
Well, of course. And any issues that they might have. And you might have a similar issue with your dog being a little strange. And they all are unique, of course.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think the big thing is, too, that statistics show that people who have dogs are more motivated to walk and be out in this, you know, the life as well, so they become healthier. So this is just another outlet for your dog to be healthier, you to get out and socialize as well. So that's what we're looking for here.
And that's my next point, the health and well-being benefits. Of course, walking a dog is a good exercise and good for your mind as well.
Mm-hmm.
Get out and about.
It's the only time when you kind of think to yourself, perhaps I should have a cat, is when it's raining. And that it's time. You have to take the dog out.
And, of course, it improves the quality of life in a community as well.
Absolutely. I think if you're a company, you're looking to bring some new talent in, you know, Evansville is fabulous. We have great schools. We have lots of different religious opportunities here in town. The arts and culture, this is a great addition for that, particularly for your younger people, your millennial folks who
looking for those.
That's what they're looking for, a quality of life issue. So, and that's one of the reasons that the city has been with us all the way in terms of supporting us with this, the grant of the property. And it's just a good thing for the city.
We're talking about plans for the Woodmere Dog Park on the State Hospital grounds. And you had mentioned earlier that dog parks are the fastest growing segment of urban parks across the country.
Yes.
Yeah, you'll see it in all the major cities. Obviously, they have multiple or at least a dog park that's centrally located. So we're just looking for Evansville to step up and get a nice facility as well.
Mm-hmm. So any collaboration with veterinarians, the Humane Society, and other groups?
On our board is Dr. Carrie Ulmer. She is the veterinarian for Mesker Park Zoo. And she's the person who's helping us with the dog rules. Actually, she's in charge of what the dog rules are going to look like, because that is important, and that the owners adhere. You know, if your dog is an aggressive dog, we would expect that you would not bring your dog to the dog park. So, you know, some things like that. We are very involved with the pet center.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pet food center is also participating with us. They're actually going to be the packet pickup for the day of the race, the day before. So we're working with them as well in a partnership as well. And then we have several other sponsors that we're working with as well.
Who's going to maintain the dog park?
So we will, and I'll tell you, we got this help from Brian Foltz, who's with the Parks Foundation, or the Parks, Evansville Parks Board. And we're going to hire a company who will do the mowing, all of the upkeep, all of that sort of thing. And he's going to help us find the right fit for what we have. So that's something, that's one of the reasons there will be membership fees, is because that has to be paid for. The city may give us mulch for the middle park if they have mulch left over from when they do their tree trimming, mm-hmm. and stuff like that.
That's what Carmel does a lot of.
Yes.
And that's pretty cool that you can use reusable and, you know, not dispose of it in any other way. So that was nice. That's how they actually do their whole park, as they mulch the leftover, the torn down trees, mm-hmm. and then use that as their base.
So the scenario is that a member will have a fob that will allow them to get into the fenced-in area at any time, day or night?
Only when the park is open. And also, if they have not paid their dues accidentally or their records are not up to date, their fob is turned off.
Really?
They will get there and,
they'll get their notification and say, hey, by the way, mm-hmm. do you have new records to give to us? Or did your credit card change? You know, a lot of times that happens. So they'll get a friendly reminder of that. But then it'll be immediately reinstated at that point.
So there will just be established hours when the park is open.
Yes, and probably sun up to sundown.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then hopefully a couple of years down the road, we would like to get lighting, which they did in Indy, and then extend those hours later on, which especially if on the weekend you want to do some kind of a social thing out there, you have to have lighting,
right?
Mm-hmm. Or over the park, you know. So
well, I think it's also nice that you have it on the State Hospital grounds. And it's such a beautiful area in there. And mm-hmm. then for the patients, too, they're walking around mm-hmm. and everything. It's just a very tranquil atmosphere.
Absolutely. And the design that Adam Green did for us there's almost like a courtyard getting into the premise. There are benches out there which actually have been bought as part of the sponsorship. And
Zemer Pet Memorial sponsored those benches to be part of the park as well. And the other nice thing is there's already organic people walking their dogs in there. And in our kickoff and our ribbon cutting, they were super excited mm-hmm. Because there's so many people that already use that park for walking, and especially a little bit older, that they want that socialization. They want their dogs, you know, they worry about their dogs getting too heavy. In a park, you almost can't mm-hmm. Not run when you're in there with everybody. So they were super supportive and excited that that was going to be the location.
Now, you've had other fundraisers in the past, an evening on the river.
That was not specific. Well, one year, yes, we were the beneficiary of that. But at the time, that was actually run by the Parks Foundation mm-hmm. for us. They did that.
So is this your premier fundraising event then?
Really?
We had a ribbon cutting, so it was just an announcement, and we did some pushing for bricks and sponsorships, but this is really our first large mm-hmm. event.
Mm-hmm. When was ribbon cutting?
Last spring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Spring?
October.
October? Mm-hmm. We can't keep up. It's all a blur.
It was great. The mayor was there. I mean, it was really nice. It was really nice.
A lot of people attended.
Yeah, we had a food truck and all kinds of stuff. Sold lots of bricks, sold some life memberships.
Right.
We do have 20 or so life memberships still available if people are interested in that.
You get a great commemorative granite.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Brick,
yeah.
For
There's
lack
only
of a word.
50. There's only 50 life memberships. They are not inexpensive. They're $1,000. But they're transferable one time. So you buy it and you decide you're not going to have a dog anymore or you leave the area, you may transfer that membership to somebody else.
And again, you talked about the Vandenberg Humane Society. Certainly, I'm sure, enthusiastic about this dog park as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They're really a gem. Every agency that helps take care fostering and our homeless animals and animals looking for homes is wonderful in town. But the Humane Society, of course, I'm very familiar with because they bought the Cat Cafe.
We'll talk about that later. And you have this rent a pet of opportunity at the run for the noses, and these are animals that are up for adoption
at the Humane Society.
Right.
Yes,
the dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
so
and
hopefully you take one home for it.
Well,
that they don't have to go back.
That'd be a plus for them, definitely.
Well, you know,
in our ribbon cutting, we did have adoptable pets out there mm-hmm. too. So we hope to work closely, obviously, with all the different organizations mm-hmm. that are looking to rehome pets, and also we're looking. Pet food and their vendors and several other sponsors are looking to have events out there, whether it's mm-hmm. dog agility training or just containment or different kinds of information that would be interesting to, pet owners and such. So we're looking to have more than just a fenced-in area as well.
Now, off-leash park. So when the animal gets in there, you take them off the leash and let them go.
Mm-hmm.
There's a four-year area that you would walk through that has double fencing. So if a dog gets loose in that kind of four-year area, so there's mm-hmm. a fence you go through, it's a four-year, then you pick which direction you're going to go, and they have another gate. So there's two gates before they get out the door.
So you don't want any animals getting out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Luckily, there's not a lot of traffic in that area if that did happen, but mm-hmm. that was definitely a recommendation from all the parks that there's double gates.
Mm-hmm. I read somewhere that in the leash versus non-leash, I guess, debate, some people say leashes can actually cause dogs to become territorial.
Of their owners.
By letting them roam free, it's good for the dogs to become more social with other animals
Absolutely.
And people.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I could see that. Like my Mastiff is very like that. He's very social when he's away from me, but when he thinks he's by my side, his job is that. Mm-hmm. So that totally makes sense, mm-hmm. even though my old Mastiff I probably wouldn't bring because he gets car sick. So.
Well, I think it's also you can look at people who take their dogs to doggy daycare.
Yeah.
And dogs who go to doggy daycare are generally far more socialized. They're, when you pull up there, the dog's crying and can't wait to get out of the car and go play with his friends. So we're anticipating that our members will be people whose dogs are already somewhat socialized.
Right.
So
can you bring frisbees and dog toys?
Absolutely. The only thing you cannot bring is food, because we know how some dogs can be.
Yes. That's right.
Very territorial about food.
Exactly.
That could cause a big problem.
But there will be water.
Yeah.
So while they're running around, they'll have water, and the people will have, availability for water as well.
My guests are Nancy Drake and Ginger Hoppe with the Woodmere Dog Park. You do have some board members. We talked about a couple of those. And tell me about some of the board members. Why did they get involved in this?
There's been a wide variety over the 3 years. We started with kind of the foundation board, as I mm-hmm. always say. And then some have, moved out of town or just, kind of did the first ring. But now we've got a pretty solid board.
But we have Christine Keck on board, she has been on board since the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, she's the immediate past president. And she has driven a lot of this stuff. also at the same time was Kirk Williams, mm-hmm. and he is still on the board.
And Adam Green.
Yeah, that's right.
Because myself, I was a late starter, but I was on it from probably year one. Mm-hmm. And there were several other new ones, obviously, yeah. That's kind of a mix. Ben Shoulders.
Mark Samil is our attorney, and Ben Shoulders is on the board. Nancy Bennett,
Alicia.
Who will do all of our planning, our
event funness.
Event funness.
Definitely.
She's our party girl. And then Alicia.
Yeah. What? How do you pronounce Alicia's last name?
I'm going to butcher it.
Okay. Alicia Shodi, I think. And she's with Centerpoint. Gosh, you know, it's terrible because now we're going to miss somebody.
Well, anyway, you have a
Heidi
wide
Lance.
Variety.
Yes, Heidi Lance is on the board. Okay. She's our money person.
There you go.
And let me tell you, you can't spend a penny that she's not slapping your hands.
She's Nancy's controller.
And, of course, location, location, location. I think you guys have found the right spot.
And let me tell you, that 3 acres on three sides is surrounded by mature trees. It is like cloistered in there.
It is so pretty.
And parking is easy. Yeah.
Parking's right by there. The walking path is easy. Mm-hmm. That if you didn't want to stay in the park or after the park, one guy came and told us he walks 10 miles a day and just goes in circles. So I'm like, the path can go this way and this way. So there's a really nice path, which our run will be on that mm-hmm. 1K, 2K path. So there's just so much there. The soccer fields, baseball fields are there. There's just so much going on there. But this little nugget of a path that I didn't even know was kind of in there is just so pretty, and like Nancy said, mature trees and everything.
And of course, you don't want to park really near anybody's home, because then you have complaints about maybe barking or the noise and traffic.
Right.
So this is really isolated, is off the mm-hmm. beaten path, mm-hmm. no busy road nearby.
No.
Okay,
no.
So you got the right spot. And coming up, we're going to talk about more reasons to support a dog park. Of course, we're going to have another plug for the Run for the Noses, and also something for the cat lovers out there. We're going to get an update on the River Kitty Cat Cafe in downtown Evansville, transitioning to the Vandenberg Humane Society. That's a big plus, I know. I'm David James. This is 2 Main Street, presented by Jeffrey Berger of Berger Wealth Services at Baird Private Wealth Management. Welcome back to 2 Main Street. I'm David James. If you are just joining us, my guests are Nancy Drake and Ginger Hoppe, board members of the Woodmere Dog Park plan for the State Hospital grounds in Evansville. Fundraising, of course, has been underway, and the Run for the Noses event is coming up on Derby Day, Saturday, May 1st, also at the State Hospital grounds. So, ladies, what's the difference between a dog run and a dog park? Is there a difference?
Well, the dog run, our dog run, is our race. Uh-huh. A typical dog run is more of a small fenced-in area for someone's backyard or in a field. So dog park, obviously, is ours, is a 3-acre off-the-leash space.
Okay, we got that out of the way. Now, we've talked about the health and well-being benefits of a dog park, socialization of people and pets. And I understand the dog parks can be a good place for singles to mingle as well.
I'll tell you what, there's probably no better way than you're out there with your dog and that special person is out there with their dog. You mesh that love of dogs, and especially if the dogs get along. Now, we've got to make sure the dogs get along.
That's first step. They say that's the first way to meet is if your dog loves another person's dog.
So that's another incentive
to become
a member of the Woodmere Dog Park.
And looking for a friend, that's where you can find one.
A little matchmaking going on there. Okay. Now, you mentioned that there are double gates at the dog park, which is very important.
Yeah, we did a lot of research, and that was one of the things that some had learned. They had a kind of four-year space, but they didn't have that gate on the second level. So they definitely said for containment, just so if, your dogs get really excited when they get to those kind of locations and people get distracted by friends or other people's dogs. So come into the first set of gates that your fob will open up into. Then you decide the left or the right, which way you're going to go into which space. Then you'll go into that gate, and that's when you actually detach your dog.
So the fob actually does both gates.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The fob will open the main gate. Now you're in this enclosed area, and then it will open the gate to either the small park or the large dog park.
That's how we can track where the dog goes, where the mm-hmm. people go, you know, which space they go into and such.
Is a dog park a good fit for an older dog?
You know, as long as your dog is social and likes other dogs, it's going to be a good fit. It's a great way if your dog is older and needs to get motivated exercise. Dogs sometimes get, like my Mastiff, he gets really lazy and he can't go on long walks because he's getting older, but he still needs socialization and he still needs stimulus, I guess, like people, mm-hmm. You know, so.
What about puppies?
So, interesting you would ask that. Some dog parks, they have an age limit on that. Mm-hmm. Now, our vet advisor, Carrie, has suggested that puppies, once they have their immunizations, you as the owner needs to keep an eye. But it's very good. The puppies need to socialize. They also have boundless energy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it just means you got to stay close to your dog. But I think most people understand this is not you drop your dog off kind of thing. You're there because you love the dog and it's outside and it's beautiful. You're going to be following the dog around. I mean, you're.
It's not a dog sitting service.
Right.
No, it's not.
Right.
You have to interact.
Yes.
So that gets me into my next question. Owner behavior, just as important as the animal's behavior, correct?
Right.
Yes, it is.
Right. I think just like our kids, our dogs feed off of owner behavior. And yeah. So that's the thing is good owners have good dogs. So that's the key to it.
So you don't want any yelling and
no.
going on with the owners
no.
trying to reprimand their dogs. You want to keep it calm mm-hmm. as possible.
Right.
And let the dogs do their thing.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Maybe after we get the electric up, we can put some speakers out there and play classical
Monitor.
Music.
Yeah.
All right.
How fun would that be?
Keep everyone calm.
That's right.
And stimulated at the same time.
Nancy Drake, you are a repeat guest on 2 Main Street. Your first visit was all about cats and the River Kitty Cat Cafe. You opened the cafe with your partner, Annette Grease. Now the Cat Cafe is run by the Vandenberg Humane Society. Tell me about that transition, Nancy.
Well, you know, it's always bittersweet when the time is there that it's time to move on. It's bittersweet, but Annette and I, and Annette has moved out of town, but Annette and I keep a close eye on what's going on over there. They've done beautifully. They were closed for quite a while during the COVID thing. As we left, there were 386 adoptions. In the meantime, in really less than a year of being open, have been another 369 adoptions for a total of 755.
Wow, that's a lot of kitties.
And, you know, when you go in there, I mean, it's just the same thing. And you have to have a mask in there. But there's wonderful coffees. Of course, they have great
snacks.
Swag and
yeah.
snacks.
It's a new mural, too.
So, yes. Just after they bought it, the Humane Society, that mural went up. And that's now their T-shirt logo.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you know, it's really a treasure on Main Street. And I don't say that because Annette and I were part of it. It just is. It allows people, you know, my husband put his foot down and said, no more cats. Of course, he doesn't know. No, never mind. But so I go over there just to get a little kitty love.
Do they still do birthday parties there too?
They're getting ready to start back up. The COVID thing kind of got in the way of that.
A lot of our kids did birthday parties there because they were like, how cool is it that we can go in there and pet all the kitties?
Yeah.
Is Mordecai still around?
Mordecai left us.
You know,
he was an old guy, and he left us. And with that, my husband said, I'm done with kitties.
Mm-hmm. But you tried one more, right?
Well, we did.
Yeah.
I mean, like I brought one home.
You tried to convince him, and then you got a dog, and he's okay with the dog, right?
Yeah. Dog is good. He likes the dog.
Now, I know Annette Grease, she moved to Arizona, I believe.
She moved to Arizona along with their three cats, which meant that they drove straight through. I mean, they had somebody helping them drive. Yeah, they weren't about to put those cats in a motel.
No. Yeah.
And she's posted a few things about the cats have had to adjust to life in the desert, mm-hmm. and lizards come up to the house.
Oh,
apparently,
yeah.
Lizards spend all kind of time in their windows staring at the cats. And then the cats are
agitating them.
Yeah, pretty much going berserk.
Okay, let's get this plug in for the Run for the Noses on Derby Day, May 1st.
the time again?
Registration, come by at 8 o'clock and just visit with everybody or pick up your packet if you've already purchased one. And the race run starts at 9 and probably everything will be done by 10.
Registration is available on Facebook or on our website prior to that, so we can get your shirt sizes and such and get your packets ready for you.
And we'll have swag to buy there. I mean, if you're interested in a brick, we'll have all of that kind of stuff, the paperwork and all. You know, come by, even if you don't register for the race, come by, support us, say hi to us, and just enjoy the beautiful space.
And if you don't have a dog, there's a dog available.
That's right. Rental dogs.
Take one home with you.
And that's the Humane Society. We'll provide some dogs there.
Yes.
That you can walk.
That's right.
You can take enjoy, that dog to and maybe find that dog a forever home as
Absolutely.
Well.
Definitely.
Absolutely. And so again, when could we see the Woodmere Dog Park open to the public?
Or open
to members?
Nancy's going to say it.
I'm going to say end of summer. But let me tell you, that means our fundraising goals, they have to be met. And we're looking to the community. And I will say this, David, when I met with you, when Annette and I met with you on the Cat Cafe, your listeners could not be the more kind people on planet Earth. Because after that, for the next month or so, we had a huge number of people come by to visit us and tell us that they heard all about us on your show.
Well, good.
So we're reaching out to those same people. Come by and say hi. Give us your support. Let's have this dog park in Evansville, Indiana.
Do we want to thank our sponsors that we have currently?
We absolutely do.
Let's go for it.
If that works for you. So we have Adam Green, our architect, and
American Structure Point.
Barry Global.
Center Point Energy.
The Evansville Parks Foundation.
Feltz Lock and Alarm.
Media Mix Advertising.
O National Bank.
Sugar Baker's Home Fashion.
Town Square Media.
Walkie Doggie.
And Zimmer Pet Memorial Service.
And we're waiting to hear from others. So
thank you. So this is going to be a fun event. You encourage folks to dress up for Derby Day Run for the Noses.
Absolutely.
They could dress up like horses. They could dress up like whatever they want.
Yeah.
And the best of show is going to be judged by our three guests.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have great prizes, including the French Lick and a couple local restaurant gift certificates and such. So,
any signature drink for Run for the Noses?
We will not be having alcohol that morning.
There will be water.
There'll be water.
Okay.
Then you can go home.
And I don't mean toilet water. I mean there'll be real water.
But you could put a sprig of mint in it.
You know,
that's a good idea. Put that down. We'll get that.
I'm coming up with some good ideas.
Yes, you have.
Do you want to be on the board, too?
Derby hats and some mint.
I love that. I mean, I'm telling you, I love that. We're going to revamp our costume thoughts.
Well, guys, this is going to be a great event, and we're all excited for your board behind the Woodmere Dog Park and, of course, the Run for the Noses Derby Day, Saturday, May 1st. My guests have been Nancy Drake and Ginger Hoppy with the Woodmere Dog Park in Evansville. Not only good for dogs, but good for the entire community, right?
Yes, indeed.
A quality of life issue.
Absolutely.
The Woodmere Dog Park. Thanks a lot, ladies.
Thank you,
David. Much appreciated.
Been a lot of fun. Next week on 2 Main Street, a salute to Earth Day. A conversation with Megan Ritterskamp. She's the spokesperson for CISMA, the Cooperative Invasive Species Management Area for Vandenberg County. I found out a popular local tree is also harmful to the environment. Well, let's start with the infamous Bradford pear. It's a showy ornamental plant native to China and Vietnam. Its blooms, one of the first signs of spring. So why are they so bad for the environment, Megan?
Well, the Bradford pear was originally considered to be sterile. It was bred to be sterile so that the fruit wasn't going to have any seed. Unfortunately, it has been cross-pollinating with some of the other pear species, and it has become very, very fertile. So the fruit that it produces produces a lot of seeds as well. And birds, of course, are attracted to that fruit, and they will take it and spread it all over. So not only does it spread very quickly and has a lot of seeds, so it propagates that way, but because there aren't a lot of competition for it, and because, like you said, it comes out a little bit earlier in the springtime, it starts to take up those resources that are necessary in the environment for our native plants. And so it chokes those out, and they prevent the other plants from growing. So they just start multiplying more and more and more. Because they have such a beautiful shape and those white flowers are so pretty, it is an attractive tree. The campaign is, they're pretty awful.
Indiana did recently ban 44 plants, and the Bradford pears were not on that list.
Yeah. So you're speaking about the Indiana Terrestrial Plant Rule, and that went into full effect in April of 2020. Mm-hmm. That was a 20-year process of gathering information and getting legislation in place to control the distribution and sales of these plants. So the Indiana Invasive Species Council and the Indiana Native Plant Society, they got together and they ranked the invasive plants in Indiana. And there's a list that's about 120 long of invasive plants here in Indiana. And the 46 of them that are considered the most highly invasive were proposed for this Indiana Terrestrial Plant Rule that will prevent the sale and transportation and distribution of these 46 plants. In order for that to become law, to put into legislation, they had to go through an economic impact study. And 44 of the 46 plants passed the economic impact study. And the two plants that did not pass that study were the Callery pear, the Bradford pear, and the Norway maple. Just because those are still so popular, like you said, they're still used so often in landscaping, there was going to be a negative impact on our nurseries and landscapers if we were to control that one as well. And we certainly don't want to have any kind of financial impact on our partners.
I'm David James, and this is To Main Street, presented by Jeffrey Berger of Berger Wealth Services at Bayard Private Wealth Management.